A reading. Good morning, Calvary Baptist Church, guests, visitors. Happy Mother's Day to all. Title of the message today is going to be, Look, They're Everywhere. And I think it's interesting to look at how Mother's Day began, because though it appears that it began way long ago, like over 1,000 years before Jesus was born. The change was that it wasn't until the 20th century that we started to have a totally Christian focus on Mother's Day. We started to recognize that Mother's Day is something that the church can see more clearly than anyone else. The world can see the people who are mothers. We see women who are giving life by the grace of God through the service that they give to children, to others who are younger than them, to others in the church, to people in their community. There are people everywhere who are mothers that we recognize all the time, and we're grateful for them. They serve. And so Mother's Day began as a church function. Actually, mother part was looking to go back to your mother church. Okay. But we know now that, and it was mentioned earlier, there are many who have not had a child, who have many children, who bless children, who bless others every day. So looking at the verses today in Ruth, we get to see the impact of God on two women's lives, Naomi and Ruth. Ruth, who grew up a Moabite, and the Moabites were the enemies of God. The Moabites were those who were doing everything they could to bring down the Israelites. And Ruth, who appears through what we're reading in the passage to be someone who really sincerely loved the Lord with all her heart, really tried every day to open her heart to what the Lord was going to do within her and through her to care for her family. So what I'd like to do is have us open in prayer right now. Let's get into the Word and let's see what this means to us today. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, You have given us all that we need. You have made provisions for all things, Lord. Would we just turn to You? We just rely on You through those difficult times. I thank You, Lord, for on the long list of ways in which You have provided for us, You have given us mothers. You have given us the women of our churches to be able to love as only You could provide that love through them, Lord. You have given them opportunities to raise children, to grow families for Your righteousness. And You have given them the opportunity, Lord, to be able to reach out to those after their children have left, after their children may have passed away even before they have. Or for those who didn't even have children, You have given them, Lord, the heart, only a heart that You could have made, the desire to serve one another. We thank You, Lord. We ask You now, Father, please be with us as we get into Your Word. May we get out of Your way as You work in our hearts today. We ask You to be with Pastor Randy as he has had an opportunity to be with his extended family on Oahu for his sister's graduation. I pray that You be with the other churches that we have here in our association. I pray especially for Lahaina Baptist Church and their efforts, Lord, to get back on the track that You want them to have. And they are eagerly seeking You each day. Help them, Lord, and we pray that You be there for Pastor Chris Komatsu on Lanai, as this is his first opportunity to preach a Mother's Day message in a church that you have blessed him to be able to serve in. Thank you, Father, for hearing our prayers. Thank you, Father, for the mothers that we have here today. Your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I have 3 points. And the points are totally lost, totally loved, and totally God. My hope is that as we go through this, you will see these words may have been written in Scripture so long ago, but they apply to us right now and every day. There aren't a whole lot of women that are, more specifically, there are only 2 women who have a book of the Bible named after them. There's a reason for that. God wanted to draw your attention to something very special about these women, but they're so different. Esther's, she was an Israelite. She was a queen. She had all the things that money could buy. But she sought the Lord every day. She wanted to honor God with her life every day. And she was given a unique opportunity to do so. Cover that more when we get into the book of Esther. But then there's Ruth. Ruth is the exact opposite. Ruth lived in poverty. Ruth was a Moabitess. Ruth was a pagan. Ruth didn't care about God other than Chemosh. It's like that's a unique God that they had that just was a pagan God that they served in pagan ways. It was not the Lord God Almighty. But culturally, it was the only God that she ever knew, and culturally, it was the only God that she could ever safely worship. And then came Naomi, who helped her to see there was a much better way. So Ruth, who really had no influence over anyone, as opposed to Esther, who was the most influential woman, you could say, in the world at her time. Ruth had no influence in her time, but what she has done has gone on for all time. She is one of those few women, excuse me, I don't know if covering this makes any difference, but she is one of those few women, 3 that come quickly to mind, that are mentioned in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. She was part of God's plan long before the garden. She was God's plan to be able to see that women are critical in all that is being done by God today. So if you would, let's go to that Ruth chapter 1, verse 3 and to 5. Looking at the totally lost, we see that they came into Moab to flee a famine. They came having nothing to go to where they believed they would have everything they needed. The very fact that they came probably says a lot about their position because traveling is costly. It is today. It definitely was then. And they had a long ways to go. It probably was going to take them an easy 6 days, more likely a couple of weeks. But they came. The famine, the absence of food, the difficulties that that brought on, and all the death that occurred, they left that thinking that the Lord had left was punishing Israel, which actually he was punishing Israel. They left to try to get a better life their way. So Elimelech brought his family, moved there to Moab, established himself there, and it appears that it wasn't very long after that he died. a wife is normally younger than her husband, it may not be an extreme surprise that he had passed away. But after living there for about 10 years, then her sons, who were older, they'd already married, they'd already gotten Moabitess for wives, I apologize. And what you see is those relationships were their focus. That's what they wanted. They achieved their goal. And so Mahlon and Chilion had wives, had the hope for a future, had all of what they thought was theirs for the taking. And they died without any children, leaving Naomi alone. So Ruth 1:3-5. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of one, Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. I think many of you remember that that's an important distinction, that she was now left without husband and without sons. It was only until the 20th century that that would have been a concern for a woman in any place, even in our country, to be left without a man to care for her. At some point, in some way, Naomi was trusting in God to care for her. So that when they left the home where they had been doing so well to go to the land of the enemies to try to do better, she trusted her husband, and ultimately she trusted her God, knowing that this would work out okay. That became really hard when her husband died. That became even harder when her two sons died. And in her moment of despair, she believed that the only thing she could possibly do now was go back to where her family could care for her. God chooses us because of the ways in which He knows we are, and the ways in which we think, and the ways our attitudes come from our heart. And at that time, her heart was hurting. And her hurting heart turned to her family. Not unusual. What a blessing our families are. But she had no family there that she recognized, and so she left. Leaving, it's a beautiful thing that we see, because she recognized that she had no one, and she was about to go on a journey with no one. Well, she'd have her two daughters in law. But other than that, no one. And rather than putting the daughters in law through that, she turned to her daughters and told them that they could go home to their own mothers. She turned to her daughters out of love for her daughters, out of concern and care to protect and provide for her daughters to have a future. So she was sending them home. That meant that she was going to take that journey all by herself. That meant that she was, as a single woman, I don't think there's many single women that would like to take a walk to Lahaina right now. And she was going to take a long walk from Moab, the land of the enemy, to Israel, to Judah, to Bethlehem to get back home. She was going to take this walk by herself. And she knew that that was the best thing to do for her daughters-in-law. So she had told them, in verse 8, go return each of you to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. She saw that her daughters-in-law had been good wives, faithful wives. She saw that her daughters-in-law had loved her, had treated her well. And given what she saw past her own hurt, and she saw to the needs of her daughters and blessed them. Asked that the Lord cared for them well. That goes a long ways to two women who have not known anybody really having a lot of concern for them all their lives. They're girls. What a shift to recognize that in God's economy, in God's society, girls, women are just as important and just as valuable as men, but that took them a while to really grasp that because it was unthinkable. It was very clear that they're different, which by the grace of God they are, just not less than. And they wanted to stay with somebody who had always been respecting them and caring for them and having regard for them and wanting to provide for them. They wanted what God had provided for them in a home that Naomi would set up, and they wanted to go with her. Naomi knew that they would be better going back. So then, in verse 14, it says, then they lifted up their voices and they wept again because Naomi continued to plead with them to go home to their mother's homes. But at that time, Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, as in kissed her goodbye, and went home to her mother. But Ruth clung to her. And she, being Naomi, said to her, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister now, after your sister-in-law. She's trying to do one more thing to encourage Ruth to leave, to make it so easy for Ruth to say, okay, I'll go. No shame. But Ruth, having learned so much under the teaching of Naomi about the change that God makes in a person's heart to no longer be as concerned for themselves as they are for others, to truly see what a mother looks like. Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you. Do not urge me to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people. None of these things make any sense. She's going to go where she goes, and we know the danger that awaits her. It would not be unusual for the Moabite woman to find herself back in Bethlehem and not only not be welcome, possibly worse. But where you go, I will go. My focus is on the love that the Lord has given me for you, and your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. She's done everything she can to show that physically, emotionally, you can count on me. There is no question of my commitment and my loyalty to you. But she takes it a step further to make it a complete package to say that spiritually, I don't have a vested interest in anything that's behind me. I'm moving forward as you're moving forward. To your people, your people will be my people. To trust in your Lord, your God, as you go, I'm leaving my gods behind. I'm trusting in your God, who, as we will see, is now her God, as she says. And she keeps on going. As Naomi had been trying over and over and over again to encourage her to go home to her mother's home out of love for her, Ruth is now trying in every way, speaking from her heart, to show Naomi, I'm in. You can count on me. physically, emotionally, spiritually. And she takes it further, and where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. This goes beyond this life now. She wants it to be very, very clear to Naomi. I'm your daughter. You're my mother. I love you. And I see how you love me. Don't ask me to leave. And if what I'm saying isn't true, may the Lord do so to me and more, if anything but death parts me from you. So the Lord can do even more than death that's parting me from you. If I have anything else happen to my body, happen to my heart, happen, may the Lord do even worse than death to me. She's in effect saying the Lord can curse me because I'm in. Trust me. My love is total and complete as I have felt your love for me total and complete. There's only one way anybody can have anything close to that, and that's through the Lord. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The very first thing stated in the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 is love, joy, and peace. There is a degree of joy, if you will, that Ruth is feeling in the knowledge that she can now be there for her mother-in-law, for Naomi, as Naomi has been there for her. She can make it clear that I'm not just here because you got a roof over my head. That joy that she has is because of her caring for someone else more than she cares for herself. And with that, getting over herself and trusting in God, she can feel the peace. It seems pretty mysterious in the midst of all the troubles that they're going through, but she's focused on the Lord and the change that God has made in her heart that enables her to make that kind of a vow to this person that has come into her life, and the Lord has used to change her life. That's when we see that as this total commitment, total love is exactly, it's now convincing Naomi that God has this. It's now convincing Naomi that what doesn't make sense to me, I know God will take care of. It's now showing her that the ways that I have gone have been the right ways because I've trusted in the Lord. The wavering of her faith only came with what she saw to be the Lord's blessings in her life. Go away. She saw the blessing of the marriage that she had to a wonderful husband in Elimelech. She saw the blessing she had in the children that they had raised who loved the Lord and loved them. She saw that as the blessings, and therefore God loved her. God was watching over her. She's now starting to see that the absence of what I see for a blessing isn't the absence of blessings. The absence of blessings would only come if I turn from the Lord. Because then it's only what I can do, and what I can do, I can lose. What I can do is really of little value. But what the Lord does through me, as He turned my heart from the gods I'd known, as He turned my heart from the only people I'd ever known, as He turned my heart from the culture that I grew up in and I'm comfortable in, that Naomi and Elimelech had to come to understand so that they could live in a different land, all those things I've turned from because of what Naomi, you have taught me as my mother about what it is to trust in God. A God who isn't the God of this land, a God who isn't the God of this tribe, a God who isn't just the God of this family, but the God who is the God of all. You've taught me that, and I trust in that. So when, in verse 18, Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. She was passionately pleading with her daughters before that, and now she stops. Later, when she talks about how she tells people when she gets home, don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara, because my life has turned bitter. I think that's an interesting distinction to think of the fact that she saw that her life had turned bitter, not that she had turned bitter. It's hard to separate that sometimes when things are really tough and painful, because it hurts to such a hard degree, a great degree, that your focus gets on that, whatever. It's hard when these things happen. It's hard to imagine much more. This is like a mini version of the story of Job. It's like, wow, how hard that must have been for her, and how understandable that she would see the bitterness and not the hope. The hope was always there. And I think one of the things that she sees is God never left, even though she couldn't feel in a way that she could appreciate His presence. It's sad that we do just that. If we can't feel His presence, then He must be missing, I must be doing something wrong. But the reality is that God is always present. That never changes. My feelings are only the things that come up within me to remind me of my need for the Lord. So Lord, help me when I feel those feelings like I'm not with You and You've deserted me, to realize that it's not the case that You've deserted me ever. Help me to turn back to You. Help me to cry out to the Lord. Crying out as in, this is my only hope. When a child falls down and gets badly injured, it is to their mom, their dad, that they run to because they hurt. They hurt as they're running. They know nothing else but the hurt. They get to mom or dad, and mom comforts them, loves on them, kisses the boo-boo, does whatever is needed to encourage them it'll be okay. And all of a sudden, they feel better. All of a sudden, things have changed for them because of the presence of someone who loves them more than they fully understand. Well, that's what Naomi, at the moment of recognizing, seeing, and experiencing, and expressing her concerns about the bitterness, that's what Naomi, excuse me, has not totally lost touch with, because she sees that her life has become this way. But her heart is still hoping. And God begins to answer that hope. Because remember, when they left Israel, they left because God was punishing Israel. They left because they felt that God had abandoned Israel, which was not the case. And as they're going back to return to Bethlehem, they're going back because they've heard that there's a harvest, a barley harvest. They've heard that God has returned. What's happened is the blessings of the Lord have returned. God never left. What's happened is they are in Israel trusting God more and others far less. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. Well, first off, they made it. God's blessing. They've arrived. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. What an amazing thing for them to see Naomi, who they probably figured was dead, coming back. They're not too sure what happened to Elimelech, what happened to their boys, and who's this woman, but they're rejoicing because Naomi had a good reputation, had a good relationship with the people of Bethlehem. She was known and loved. That's the Naomi that left, one that was one with God, doing what God wanted in her life. And that has an impact on everyone around you. The impact that it had on her daughters through her sons was unquestionable. But for her, she thought that God had taken his hand from her, was no longer protecting her. First off, we know that God doesn't have hands, but the expression made it clear that she didn't fully understand how things happen with the Lord. We look at the mystery of the cross, it makes no sense. Why would God do this? We look at the mystery of Christmas, it makes no sense. Why would God confine himself to a baby? God's ways aren't our ways, and therefore they will not make sense. And as long as we continue to struggle to have it make sense, we're wanting to understand and know all that God knows rather than accepting all that he shows. And that's where we find our peace. That's where we find our joy, in the accepting that no matter what it is that's going on around me, God knows. God has not forgotten me. John 9, verse 3, you see what happened with a blind man who'd been blind from birth, and how Jesus healed that blind man. And people were amazed, disbelieving, accusing him of things that were far from the truth. But when his disciples saw this, they just couldn't understand it. And so they had said, so who sinned that made this poor guy blind all of his life? He was born blind. You see, that's that attachment to what you have shows whether or not you're loved by the Lord. The only thing that you can have for yourself to help you understand the love you have for the Lord, your faith, your love of the Lord, your hope, which is in Christ alone, these are things you have that show you your love from the Lord. These are the things that Naomi left Bethlehem for Moab, making no sense, but she trusted in what she had that had resulted in her marriage, that had resulted in her sons, and that later resulted in having two daughters now through her sons' marriages. She trusted that these are because of what I have, which is my love for God, my faith in the Lord, and my hope. She wouldn't have said in Jesus Christ, but she would have said, my hope is in the Lord alone. She knew that. She trusted in that. And all that happened, which was very difficult for her, was put in that context, and therefore she was able to continue to love on these women who she'd only known for these last 10 years and the impact that it had on them. Be interesting to learn when we get to heaven how Orpah's life went after that. But I have no doubt that the impact that the Lord had made on her through Naomi was great. But Jesus answered them when it came to this man to say, who sinned? Thinking that somebody must have sinned in order for this to have happened to him. Something must have been done wrong. He said it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. Wow. That's why he went through all of this. And as that becomes part of us kind of thinking, God, that couldn't there have been a different way? The reality is that you don't know the name of that blind man. You also don't know the name of that thief on the cross. We don't know the name of a lot of people whose lives were miserable until Jesus. Many of those people are in this church right now whose lives were miserable until Jesus. The thief on the cross wanted nothing but to be remembered. He didn't even want an eternity to be with the Lord. He knew he didn't deserve it. Why was his life that way? So that God, what only God could have done, could be displayed in him. Why is Naomi going through what she's going through? Because God, not Naomi who's done something wrong, but God who's done everything right in Naomi's life, could have an impact that would bring her right where he wanted her to be, in a place that made no sense for an Israelite to be, in Moab, doing God's work. Missionary work, she didn't even know she was on a mission. You're on a mission right now. You're on a mission right now to see, are you trusting in your circumstances or are you trusting in God? Are you trusting in the things that God has done to change your heart from who you were before you asked him in? Are you trusting in how you feel this morning when you woke up? What are you trusting in? Because the more you trust in the Lord with all your heart, the more others see the fruit that comes in your life that goes with it. The tree that grows fruit isn't growing fruit for itself. The tree that grows fruit is growing fruit so that others may eat it. That's Lord providing. As he provides in you,